Good evening, and welcome to Soul Odyssey Radio. This is your host, Deborah Herman, and each week we talk about the process of your soul journey and any topics of spirituality and metaphysics and anything that we decide we want to talk about, because this show is really your show. And I am, I call myself Mystic Medium Animal Communicator Extraordinaire, but I am simply a conduit and a messenger, and I am blessed to be able to invite very interesting guests onto the show who can share their journey and their particular message and mission with us. And this week, I'm very happy to announce that we have Joy Gardner, who Joy and I have met each other throughout, it's been, what, about 10 years or more?
Yeah, something like that.
And we've just been threatening all those years to get together and work together, and finally Spirit just said, okay, it's about time, let's just, you know, get the party started. You know, and I've always kept a little bit of an idea of the kinds of work that you've been doing, because you've gone through, as all of us on a spiritual path, you know, we go through many different journeys, all in the same, not always the same direction, but we're always reinventing ourselves. And although tonight we talked about wanting to discuss your most current work, which I think is vibrational healing, right. Am I correct?
Yeah.
I would love to know, you know, and have you share a little bit of your journey with our audience. I know that you work with shamanism, and you worked for a while with crystals, and I'm sure that still enters into it. You have a particular connection with spirit and a guide that you work with for your healing work. So you have an awful lot to share with us, Joy.
Yeah.
So I'll let you just give us a little background of when it all began for you.
All right. Let's see. I have been doing this all my, I guess since I was 8 years old. the first experience that I had that was kind of out of the ordinary was when I was around eight, when my grandfather, who was killed in a concentration camp, so I never met him in the flesh, but he appeared to me, and he told me certain things, just very mundane things about the house that my mother grew up in, something that she never talked about, you know, what the floors looked like and what the ceiling looked like, things like that. And so I went to my mother and I said, the house that you grew up in, did it look like this? And she said, yes, how did you know? And I told her, well, your father came to me and told me about that. And she was just sort of, oh, kind of matter of fact about it, because she was also psychic, and she also had experience.
Yeah.
So I didn't really, even at that point, think that it was some special gift or something, because she acted so nonchalant about it, you know. But anyway, getting into my more professional healing work, that started when I had a cyst on my ovary when I was in my 20s, and I did not want to have it surgically removed, which was what I was told to do. And back in those days, everybody just did what their doctor said to do, but I felt the desire to explore other possibilities, and through my own research, I put together a program using herbs and fasting and that was mostly it, and douching with herbs, and I got rid of the cyst, and that was
wow.
Such a huge victory, you know, that I, up until then, I knew I was going to be a writer, but I wasn't sure what I was going to write about it, and that, at that point, I decided, okay, I am going to write a book called Healing Yourself, and I'm going to get information to share with people about how they can heal themselves of various ailments. And so that became my mission, my dedication.
And that was, wow, that was probably in the 70s?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, which made you very much a pioneer of the mind-body connection, that you don't have to necessarily, and not that allopathic medicine is not right for certain situations, but that there are choices, and that you can learn a lot about your body and be in charge. I mean, that was a totally unheard of concept.
Yes, that's true.
Right?
That's true. Yeah. So that first book that I wrote, Healing Yourself, it turned out, I had no idea, but later found out that it was basically the first medicinal herbal in the United States in modern times.
Wow.
Yeah. So that eventually sold over 100,000 copies because, you know, people would take it with them to Europe. They would take it to them traveling all over they'd give it to their mothers, and mothers would give it to their daughters. And I would get letters every day from people sharing their experiences with me because there was just nothing else like that around.
But I want to point out, because on occasion I do shows on spiritual writing and on, you know, writing what is your book. And mm-hmm. I think it's very noteworthy that you didn't necessarily know anything about publishing, but you had something to say.
Yeah, actually, I was working at a community clinic in Seattle, and that clinic agreed to put up the money to publish the book so that they could give it to their patients as preventive medicine.
Now that was a blessing.
Yes,
that's like a dream. but I also try to encourage people that if something needs to find its audience, and it seems like with you, so many times you followed the signs.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's definitely what my life is about.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so if people relax and follow the signs, if the universe needs something to happen, it will happen.
Yeah.
And you may just be the vehicle to do it. But in our few conversations, I know that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would view you as someone who perceives themselves as being a messenger versus, you know, yay, I discovered all of this, and, you know, I'm the message, and, you know, I think you've always wanted to contribute to people's awareness and knowledge.
And to empower people to heal themselves and to take their own journey and to find their own inner guidance. Yes, yes.
So what came after that? Not that that wouldn't have been what do they say? It would have been enough. Right?
Right, right. Well, it was interesting because that book, it was just a little, really just a little pamphlet at that point, but it was reviewed in Anyway, it was reviewed in a couple of very popular alternative magazines. And so a woman who was an editor at Bantam Books read one of the reviews, and she got in touch with me and asked if I would be interested in having Bantam publish my book. And at that
happens
point...
It happens every day.
Yeah, right.
You're not helping me. All my prospective clients for the agency are going to say, well, Joy had Bantam call her. Right?
Well, the ironic thing is I actually signed 3 contracts with Bantam because I was going to write a book about pregnancy and childbirth, and another one about remedies for adults, and another one about remedies for aging. And so I actually signed 3 contracts with them, got paid in advance, And then I wrote the first book, and it was published, but unfortunately, my editor and I were both pretty naive, and I put some remedies in there for if you know, there was remedies for pregnancy, but before that, there was remedies if you choose not to keep the baby.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so certain people found that and threatened Bantam, and Bantam withdrew the books and burned them, and that didn't turn out too well, that leg of the journey.
Oh, my goodness. That's an amazing story.
Yeah, lots of amazing stories.
I know. I was looking at your website, which let's mention your website here, and of course we'll mention it several times. It's vibrationalhealing.com?
No, it's highvibrations.net. So it's H-I-G-H, highvibrations.net.
So in other words, ignore what I said.
It's right.
highvibrations.net. Because you do list in, you know, autobiographically, you know, some of the journeys that you've experienced. But boy, that I would like to use that story when mm-hmm. I'm teaching about spiritual writing, how you just do not know when you're a spiritual writer and something in your mind seems so innocuous that we always have to be open to how people are going to see it and view it.
Yeah.
Who don't share our views.
Right.
That's like out of nowhere. But well, if you thought about it in a different way.
Yeah, I as I say, we were both naive about it. I should have known better. You know, I knew it wasn't innocuous. I knew that people had very, very strong feelings about it, and for good reason. So anyway, that was one chapter of the journey, and after that, sometime after that, see, I've been meditating since I was 13, and I started getting messages in my meditation when I was in my 20s that I was going to be doing spiritual teaching. Well, at that point, I had spent 10 years learning how to do herbal, and I'd become an acupuncturist and a masseuse, and I was doing all these other kinds of healing, and I was actually rather annoyed. I said, why did I have to spend all this time learning this kind of healing if I'm going to do spiritual healing? I was
Wait a second, Joy. Excuse me. At least you didn't go to law school.
Yeah. Did you do, was that your journey?
Oh, yes. And then when I pass the bar
and
finish, yes, and then I get the call. All right. So yeah. I feel very sorry for you, but at least you were in the same planet.
Yeah. You're right. You're right.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And I got ridiculed.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, yeah, I got ridiculed for telling people about herbal remedies or acupuncture. I mean, it's not easy to be on the leading edge of anything. It's you are going to get ridiculed. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
No, I'm fine. I'm over it. I I'm really interested much more in your story than my saga. But I just thought that was a funny contrast of the sublime and the ridiculous. So what happened after that?
Well, I was reassured by spirit that, well, people will come to you who are ready for spiritual healing, but other people will come to you who aren't. And so you'll have different skills to use for different people. So I was kind of comforted by that. And eventually I met a woman in Seattle, Helena Ram, who did something called spiritual journeys, where she would take you on, have you walk along your, kind of take you into a light trance, and then have you walk on your life path. And it was like a waking dream, and different things would happen as you walked along your life path, and then you would interpret the things that happen. So it was like a waking dream and an interpretation all rolled up into one. So it was a way of allowing your subconscious to talk to you. And I loved it. I just really learned. I would go there once a month for 6 months, and every time the journeys were just incredible. And I remember one where I was in Buddha's garden, and another one where I traveled inside of my body in order to, because the cyst, I had gotten on top of the cyst with the herbs, but every 6 months it would come back. And then I'd have to do more fasting and more herbs. And so I wanted to understand, well, what's the underlying cause? Now, this became the centerpiece of my work. What is the underlying cause of this illness? And so she had me actually make myself small and journey inside my body. And I went up into my tubes and my ovaries and my uterus and looked around and talked to them and found out what she had me ask my ovary, the cyst. She said, ask the cyst, who put you here? And I did, and I got an answer, and the answer was, your mother. And then I got a picture of my mother, of me as a three-year-old, being very outgoing and what my mother would call flirtatious. And my mother was very psychic, and I got a sense of her giving me a very powerful psychic message. Stop it. I think maybe she was jealous because my father was, you know, we had a really good connection. I don't know what it was. Maybe she was trying to protect me. I don't know what it was, but all I know is that I was very impressionable, and I took all of that outgoing energy, and I kind of rolled it up inside of me and stuck it up in my ovaries.
Wow. It's so amazing, the complexity again of the mind and body connection.
Yeah.
And the work, is this woman still living, or
I don't think
your teacher? I mean, that sounds like an amazing opportunity for you to have learned how to connect so consciously with journey.
It was really neat, because what happened was, okay, so she said, do you want to keep it there? And I said, no. And then she said, well, then take it out. And so I saw myself like pulling this rag rope out of my ovaries, and it was yards and yards and yards of rope that had been stuck up in my ovaries. And then she had me put it in a burlap bag, and later she had me put the burlap bag and throw it into the violet light of Saint Germain that would explode it into free atoms. And listen, after that, I felt so different. I felt so much lighter, and my whole relationship with my body and my sexuality changed dramatically. So I was just blown away by the opportunity to do this kind of deep healing on myself. From that point on, the cyst never came back. So the idea that it was possible to do through visualization to do a permanent healing on myself without any herbs or acupuncture or anything, I was hooked. I said, I want to do this work. I want to help people to find the underlying cause of their illness and to remove it. This just became such a passion for me. It was more exciting to me than the herbs or the acupuncture. And so I told Helena that I wanted to learn, and she had students, but she had actually come to me for acupuncture treatment, so we were getting to know each other, and she was from England, I guess, and I said, I would really like to learn, and she said, far out! It was more than that, though. Actually, in my meditation, I got the message, you are supposed to do a healing for Helena. And so,
oh, awesome.
She was this very big, very British woman, and I was so intimidated. It took me several months before I could tell her. And then I said it to her, like, Helena, I got this message in my meditation, so I have to tell it to you, but I'm so embarrassed. I really I just don't know if this is true, but I have to tell it to you. So I finally told it to her, and that's when she said, "Far out!" She said, "I've been trying to get students to do a spiritual journey for me, and none of them are willing to do it. I would love to have you do that." So I did one for her, with her helping me every step of the way, and it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. I was able to do it, and it really helped her. And then 6 months later, I was doing acupuncture for somebody, and I got the guidance, this person needs a spiritual journey. So I did a journey for her, and it turned out to be the perfect thing. So little by little, I started to do spiritual healing.
Well, it sounds, obviously, you were following your journey, your mission, your guidance, and gaining tools to increase what you could give to your students or people who needed healing. You moved from there, I believe, to the crystal healing.
Well, from there, the next step along the way was, well, I got into the Bach flower remedies because my son was sick.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, this actually, it was a very, very deep thing, because what happened was that my son's father, when my son was four, his father and I had separated a year before, but we were still very close and actually living in the same commune. But his father was in an automobile accident and was thrown out of the back of a truck, landed on his head, and went into a coma and died 2 weeks after that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And so my son went around. It was like he had an ulcer. And that's how he was behaving. And it turned out, we ended up taking him to a homeopathic doctor. And the doctor prescribed basically what was a Bach flower remedy for him. And that healed his emotional body, which in turn healed his physical body. So little by little, I was being introduced. Now, another thing that happened was that on one of my spiritual journeys, I met my spirit guide. I met a few spirit guides, but one of them was Dr. Lang. And Dr. Lang started coming to me independently. I did a lot of traveling, and he would come while I was driving and lecture me for like an hour at a time about chakras and about color. And He was teaching me about, I knew absolutely nothing about chakras or color healing. I'd heard the word chakra, but I never even heard of color healing. But I started looking around for books about color healing, and I found that there were some books from England, and Dr. Lang was from England, and the information in these books was completely in alignment with what Dr. Lang was teaching me. Absolutely confirmation of everything was in those books, except what he was teaching me went beyond what was in the books, because he was also teaching me about the personality types that go with each chakra. And that wasn't something that anybody was talking about back then, not even in England.
It's amazing when you're taught from spirit, and then you're able to receive the validation. But there wouldn't have been a lot of books back then. I don't know if people realize, back in the mid-80s, when I was feeling that I needed to learn something, the only esoteric bookstores were like little houses hidden on little streets that nobody could find except if you really knew you were going to look there. You know what I'm saying?
The mid-70s, there was very little. You know, when I was trying to heal that cyst, I went to the library and looked for I found Adele Davis, you know,
yes,
nutritional book. I found a book on by Galen, you know, Roman medicine, Greek medicine,
right.
Chinese medicine, and that all the books in the library that were vaguely related to healing assist naturally. I was able to carry a big armload of them home with me. In my arms. That's how many books there were in the whole library at that time. So yes, things have changed dramatically.
Which I think also means that people need to be discerning. A lot of books are repetitive of things that you know, somebody's already said, and I think what's interesting about you is that you were really listening to spirit guidance and then adding that to what you were able to find in books. But sometimes the purpose is to bring in new information.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you always seem to have been bringing in new information so that we go to the next level.
Exactly.
Because there's really a method to all of this. It's for us to continue to grow and open and change our thinking from, you know, being in this little box to knowing more about who we are as human beings, the divine light that's inside of each of us, and our capabilities to be healed and to be more aware. And to, you know, just, you have spiritual and psychic gifts. I have them as well. Many people have them, but many people are, afraid to tap into them or access them. Now we have a caller.
Mm-hmm.
We have Austin from California. Are you on the line, Austin?
Yes. Hello.
How are you?
Good.
So what do you think of I was going to say, what do you think of the show so far?
It's a good show.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, is this live on the internet?
It is live.
There's like a delay.
Oh, is there? Oh, then don't listen to your internet. Just listen on the phone.
All right. Well, I want to talk about something. I had this dream, and then, you know, I was dreaming that I wake up, and there's this girl next to me, and she said, run, and we start running, and then there's people next to me with, jumpsuits, and they all have 101 on, and then all of a sudden, there's this big thing we run into, and the world just comes to a blink, and then one person says, you came to the right place.
Wow. You want to, do you have anything to say about that, Joy?
Well,
it was pretty crazy.
The way that I usually work with dreams, again, like I talked about wanting to empower people to help themselves, and I do something, I teach something called Gestalt Dream Work, and that's based on the belief that every person and even every object in your dream is some aspect of yourself, because this dream came from within you. And in order to understand a dream, you actually act out the dream. You stand up and you say, okay, I'm myself now, and I'm going over to this table, and I'm lifting up this vase, and I'm taking it over, and I'm placing it on this stairway. You know, you actually make the motion of each part of the dream, or now I'm the vase, and I'm sitting here, and she's coming up and lifting me, and she's putting me over her head. You know, you describe everything that happened in the dream from the standpoint of each person or object, and as you do that, some very amazing insights come through, because you're beginning to work more with your subconscious and less with your conscious mind, because the conscious mind really isn't very good at figuring out dreams, but the subconscious, of course, is where it's coming from. So it's things start to click and fit in and make sense. This is actually one of the workshops that I teach I do a workshop called Underlying Cause. I do a series of 11 workshops, actually, in the Vibrational Healing Program, and one of them is Underlying Cause, and the Gestalt Dream Work is part of that. But unfortunately, we don't have time to do that right now with your dream, but you might, when you finish listening to the program, you might do that on your own, and you might find some real insights there.
Now on the other hand, I think that's awesome. And again, let's give your website. And I'm going to let you say the website so I don't screw it up again.
It's highvibrations.net, H-I-G-H, vibrations.net. And, you know, there's a lot of things that I'd like to point out that I have there. You could go straight to my calendar, for example, and see that I teach a whole program called the Vibrational Healing Certification Program. And that's 11 different workshops. Some of them are one day and some of them are 2 days. Some of them are available through teleconference call. In fact, in 3 weeks, we're going to be starting the healing voice, sound healing, toning, by teleconference call, which is like just through the telephone. Some of them are available in person on the Big Island of Hawaii, and that will be starting in the beginning of December. Deborah, would you like me to mention the different workshops that are involved in the program? Would that be a good thing to do?
Why don't we have them refer to your website, because I want to take a little more time to talk about vibrational healing. Let's get to that at the end of the show if we have time.
Okay.
Now, Austin?
No,
I know that you're still there. I think it'd be very interesting for you to look into this approach to analyzing your dream. I don't believe, I'm not feeling that your dream is prophetic, but I do want to say to Joy as well that, you know, sometimes, at least from my experience, a lot of my dreams are somewhat literal, and precognitive. And so, you know, there are some dreams that are something and some dreams that are another thing. And if we talk to my kids, they would say, you know, because I would call them and say, you know that party you went to last night? Because for whatever reason, I would see the whole thing in a dream. Mm-hmm. And it was more actual. But that's a whole different kind of dream. There was nothing symbolic about it. I would see literally, you know, what was happening, who was there, who talked to whom, you know, but that's just a different thing I do. My kids don't like it at all.
I also have another problem that I ran into. I recently moved away from my dad, and because there was a manipulation problem with my mom, well, with my stepmom, and basically he's been heavily manipulated through the brain, and it's just, it's not good because he's just not, you know, the normal person, people, well, the way they made him, the way he used to be.
You know, unfortunately, I'm so happy that you called, and I hope that you'll continue listening and that you'll call in again. Unfortunately, we have only 20 minutes remaining, and it sounds like this is a bigger issue. Joy, do you have anything that you want to say to Austin? I mean, I'm getting a few thoughts, but I don't want to
My feeling is that this is not something, A, that is appropriate for public conversation, or B, that could be done quickly. That there's a lot going on, and that a much longer conversation would be required to get to the bottom of whatever is disturbing to you right now.
So why don't you send an email to you can send
hello?
It to yes, Austin.
Oh, hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Why don't you send an email to me through bbsradio.com?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if we can at least direct you in the right direction.
All right.
Okay?
All right. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Austin. Good night.
Okay. Bless you. Okay, so I wanted to ask you about vibrational healing because I had the pleasure of listening to a few of your audio files. Unfortunately, we were unable to upload them to use on the show, although we can do it on another show. But they're really amazing, and I'd like to know how they were created and what they're all about.
Actually, I could play them right off of my computer if you wanted me to. The ones I sent you, Deborah, were from a CD called Altered States of Planet Earth. And that's a combination of me doing shamanic sounding with a man who plays the didgeridoo. And it's kind of haunting sounds. There are four tracks that are, one is for the earth, one is for the trees, one is for the waters, and one is for humanity. And the intention was to alter those energies on the planet for healing and to help people to go into kind of an altered state to connect with the planet on those different dimensions. And the reports that I've heard from people have been very positive that this music, if you will, which was completely channeled, has been used to balance people's energies. People enjoyed trance dancing to it or being massaged to it, making love to it, many different things that people are using it for. It's different. It's not something that most people hear normally. The shamanic sounding, what I mean by that is that there are a number of shamans who come through me. And when I do my vibrational healing work with a client, which I'd like to describe in a minute, but at the end of a session, I'll allow the shamans to come through and make their sounds for that person. It usually goes on for about 5 minutes, and some very, very unusual sounds tend to come through. I never know what they're going to be. I'm as much a witness as my client is. Sometimes it feels like a Native American grandmother. Other times it feels like an Aborigine from Australia. A lot of different kinds of sounds come through. And whatever they are, they seem to help the person to take the healing work that we've done up until that time and absorb it very deeply at the cellular level. Because while the sounds are going on, the person will often twitch or go into a trance or fall asleep and start snoring, you know, just over a period of 5 minutes while these sounds are happening. So in this Altered States of Planet Earth, similarly, sounds were coming that I had no idea what they would be, but they seem to have a very healing effect on people.
Do you want to try to play about a minute and a half of the first file?
Sure, I can do that. It's right here. Yeah, I'll play the Earth track, just the beginning. Can you hear that? No, wait a minute. Let me unplug just a second. Okay, we'll try again now.
Picture our Mother Earth as she appears from outer space, resplendent in flowing blues and greens.
Okay.
That's amazing. It sounds that's sort of almost second or third hand in, as far as playing it on the show. But your voice, when I was listening to it, you really feel transported. And I understand from reading some of your material that you didn't, you know, think you could do that, that
right.
You were able, you know, to sing or chant, it's just such a clean, clear, vibrational sound that comes out of you.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel very honored to be chosen by the guides to be allowed to do this work, because it is. It's very deeply rewarding to me. I mean, I never was trained as a singer. I never thought I had a particularly good voice. But when they're singing through me, I can do things with my voice that I never imagined being able to do. So it's exciting. It's very rewarding.
And you work with the man with the didgeridoo.
Right, and
this
he
recording.
He also channeled the music. That's why I could work with him, because we were completely on the same wavelength as far as that was concerned.
And so people can also listen to the music, the channeled vibrational music on their own and assist in their own healing.
Right. And there's another CD called Toning the Chakras that was recorded in a cave in Santa Cruz, where I'm working with a man. Alejo was the one who played the didgeridoo with the Toning the Chakras. It's Richard Karst, who the two of us chant three times the tones for each chakra, and it's designed to tone along with us. So if you have a higher voice, you tone with me. If you have a lower voice, you tone with Richard. And we take you through, starting from the first chakra at the base of the spine up to the crown chakra at the top of the head, three times with color breathing at the same time. So by the time you get up to the crown, the sounds get higher and higher, and your vibration gets higher and higher until it puts you into an altered state, which is perfect for meditation. So then you have 10 minutes of Tibetan bells and bowls and a Shruti box, which is a drone, very nice background for meditating, and then you tone once for each chakra coming down to get you grounded. So
wow.
It's many people have written to me and said, oh, I just love this CD. I use it every day when I get home from work, or whenever I have a fight with somebody, or tell me go to sleep. It's just very, very helpful to help you get centered. In fact, on the liner notes, there are two pictures that were taken of people's auras with a special aura machine. One was taken when a person was very bent out of shape, very stressed, a lot of brown blotches in their aura. 15 minutes later, after toning the chakras, their aura's got these beautiful purples and greens and blues, and it's totally different. It's just amazing.
Well, I think it should be required in every business at the beginning of the day, in every home at the beginning of the day, every school at the beginning of the day, you know, do all the chakra toning.
That would be great.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I used to get together with some of my students at expos, and before we would set up our booth or do anything, we would always start out by toning the chakras together, and it was a wonderful way of aligning our energies. Deborah, can I share what my greatest enthusiasm is right now that I'm just finished? I've been working on this for a year and a half, and I've just finished a series of 7 one-hour videos called Crystals.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's Crystals and Aromatherapy, Balancing the Chakras. And it's about an hour for each chakra. And it's got so many beautiful pictures of the crystals and beautiful pictures of the plants that the oils are made from. And I've actually put virtually everything I know about crystals and aromatherapy and the chakras in this, it's about 8 hours really of video material. And I'm just so excited to finally be able to offer that to people, because my other workshops, there are 6 of them or 7 of them that I do by teleconference call. There are 3 of them that have to be done in person, but I couldn't figure out how was I going to present the crystals and the aromatherapy, and I finally came across this way of doing it through these videos, and people are really loving them. It's very exciting. So,
are they videos or DVDs?
They're DVDs. You can go online and get them as streaming iMovies. You can do that right away. And then you can also get them as DVDs.
I just, you know, want to keep us in the current lingo.
Yeah, you know, I need to be clear myself because, it is a little confusing to me as well. So people can get them as streaming iMovies online, or they can get them as DVDs. So
you know, I want to point out that you, aside from everything you've done and all that you do, you were really one of the major pioneers in working with crystals and aromatherapy and the chakras.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, if there's anything I want to learn, I know that what I read from you is right. I know that
it's
good information and is going to help me as I'm moving ahead. And, you know, I didn't understand as well as I do now, particularly after being in Hawaii, how, you know, rocks talk to you.
Absolutely.
We're at the end. Unfortunately, we're at the end of our time together. This went by so fast.
It did, really.
Didn't it?
Yes.
So one more time, let's mention your website.
Yes, it's highvibrations.net, H-I-G-H. And I also want to mention that there's an excerpt from the third chakra video a 6-minute excerpt that you can watch that's on my homepage, highvibrations.net, H-I-G-H.
Anything you'd like to say in the last...
I can barely hear you, Deborah.
That's because I moved my headset. Just a technical thing. Anything you would like to say? Otherwise, I will close out our show for the evening.
Just namaste. I honor the goddess and the god within each of you.
Thank you so much. This, again, is Deborah Herman, your host. Join us again for Soul Odyssey Radio every week, Thursday evening, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. You never know who is going to be on Soul Odyssey Radio and what you are going to learn about your spiritual journey. I'm greatly honored and thrilled to have you, Joy Gardner, on this show, and I hope that you'll return as a guest in the future. God bless all of you. I hope you all have a wonderful, healthy, and prosperous week. Until we meet again, bye-bye.